That was the technique that was used by the great acharyas to make love. Otherwise, how could you figure out how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? How could you even figure out how to get out the door and go anywhere? You know, what Prabhupada did take Jaladutta, we can do the same from our position just by developing the courage just to go a few blocks or to reach out to somebody and give them one book. This, from another person's level, this is catching a Jaladutta. And those who continue to do this will find the superior knowledge coming into their mind and hearts. What else? Yes, Prabhu.
Why not?
What was that? Why not? Well, I don't remember that, well, the context.
You were saying that it was very possible to...
that Alachua could become, right, will become a book distribution empire. And why not? Right? Thank you very much. I like that a lot. Yes.
Just by making this attempt, one will get supreme strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness.
Yes, just by the attempt, right? Just make the attempt. Why not? Yes. Right to the other side, yeah.
I was appreciating your very first point that Sankirtan means becoming happy in Krishna consciousness. And then wanting to share that with others. So
yes,
if we don't have happy devotees, we can't have, you know, book distributors and preachers.
Yeah. And the genesis of that happiness is chanting Hare Krishna. If you chant really good rounds, then you'll have this experience that you feel happy for no reason. This is called prasanatma. And it's in that mood that one wants to give Krishna consciousness to the others. That mood... And that feeling overrides the mind saying, oh, this person won't take, what if they say no? One simply becomes engaged in this spontaneous activity of giving to others. Yes?
You mentioned not to compare our book distribution scores with Tampa or any other local place like that. But with the what the Jehovah Witnesses and the Bibles are, how the numbers...
Yeah, for starters, let's catch up to them. We can do that. We can do that by organization. And I'm going to go into that when I talk about the four laws of book distribution, which I'll present in just a moment. And when you follow these four laws, you'll be successful in your expansion of book distribution here in Alachua, like you can't even imagine right now. Just as Prabhupada, he had it in his sights to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, but he didn't know how it would happen. But he took... The fact that Lord Chaitanya was backing him, and he prayed, and it manifested. And then there's ways in which one can use ordinary organizing skills that we use every day to incrementally improve our organization here in Alachua so that it comes to the point of a book distribution team that stuns the world. I can see the headlines now. Team Alachua... stuns the world by book distribution. What is it?
TIA.
Yeah, TIA. Everyone say TIA.
TIA.
Team ISKCON Alachua. Stuns the world. Yes, what else? Yes, Prabhu.
When Prabhupada got the instruction of if you ever get money, print books, he took it literally. You were mentioning that. So Prabhupada did not try to find out a second understanding and do something, but he just followed.
I love the way you put things. That's beautiful. He didn't try to find out a second understanding. Yeah, that's, you take it literally, and if you do that, you'll find yourself connected to the internal potency of the Lord. Yes, so nice. Thank you so much. Okay, one, two, three.
The Jehovah's Witness, they all go out, actually.
The Jehovah's Witness all go out.
Yeah, they all go out, but they don't really have much to say.
Shishi Radha Sham Shundar Ki Jai, Shishi Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shishi Gauri Tai.
On any given day, there's usually like three or four teams of Jehovah's Witnesses with their little stands, but they hardly anyone stops and talks to them. So we have so much more to offer, and they spread so far and wide.
We should be thankful to the Jehovah's Witness. First of all, they're our brethren, they believe in God. And second of all, They've opened up a lot of places for book distribution. If it wasn't for the Jehovah's Witness, door to door would be illegal. But they fought big court cases and won and made it legal for people to go and express free speech door to door. So we owe a great debt of gratitude to these beautiful people. I met them in Washington, D.C. They're very nice. These people of faith are helping keep the world afloat. I read their stuff. It's not Bhagavatam, that's for sure. But they believe in God. And they're very organized. And I met a Jehovah's Witness in Tokyo. I was walking with my friend Satyadev one day, minding my own beeswax, and I saw a lady distributing Watchtower, so I always pick up my copy of Watchtower. And I picked it up, and we went to Govinda's restaurant. We sat down, had ourselves a little prasadam, and the restaurant was really busy. And I was talking to my friend Satyadev. They were saying, of all the different kinds of Christians I meet, the Jehovah's Witnesses are the least open to talking about Krishna consciousness. Who are the most open? The Mormons, yeah. So anyway, then the restaurant thinned out, and the devotee, Madhu Mangal, who runs the restaurant, came up to us, and he said, oh, I have a man here who comes in here every week, and he'd like to meet you. He's a Jehovah's Witness. And he was a very friendly man, and he was reading Prabhupada's books. And he said, I've gleaned two things from reading these books. He said, first thing is that you don't have any motivation for worshiping God. You're doing it for pure reasons. This is the first thing he could understand and why he appreciated. And the second thing he said, I know you're very sincere, the people in your movement, because you're so unorganized. But you continue trying so diligently. And he said, don't worry, we used to be very unorganized ourselves. And he said, that was hundreds of years ago, and we've come to be much more organized in the world. Anyway, your point's well taken. He was at Govinda's. Okay. I know, there's exceptions. Okay.
Chan Hare Krishna, I'm Prince. To all
okay, there's two parts to the Krishna consciousness movement, so it should be easy to remember, right? What's part number one? Oh, I can't remember the second part. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, two parts. I'll keep practicing, see if I can remember those both. Thank you. And yes?
And asking Srila Prabhupada, please back me, so kindly help me. This is my request.
Yeah, what if Prabhupada asks you, so kindly help me, this is my request. So if you just say, okay, what's your request? You find out what it is, and you just try to help him. What might happen? Gopal, what might happen? If you just try to help Prabhupada. If Prabhupada made a request, he said, please help me, and you find out what he wanted you to help him with, and you did it, you tried to help Prabhupada, what might happen?
I would get spiritual advancement.
Thank you. Let's give Gopal a hand. Gopal, there's two parts to the Krishna consciousness movement. First one is?
Hare Krishna.
What's number two?
Teach the others.
Give him another hand. Okay, now, here are the four laws of book distribution. Follow these laws, and your individual book distribution will become supremely empowered, and Alachua will become a great empire for book distribution in the world. So, here are the four laws. Number one, your sadhana must be strong. Number two, you must get books. Number three, the more you show, the more you sell. Number four, you must organize. Now please, would you say them together? Number one.
Your sadhana must.
Number two.
You must get books.
Number three.
The more you show, the more you sell.
Number four.
You must organize.
Okay, now let's go them in a little more detail. Your sadhana must be strong. You can't distribute what you don't have yourself. Oftentimes, People start off selling Bhagavad Gita, but if they don't read Bhagavad Gita, then they'll think, maybe I'll sell something else. Maybe soap and a rope. Why not soap and a rope? Why not anything else besides Bhagavad Gita? Unless you love Bhagavad Gita, and why would you love Bhagavad Gita? Because you're reading it every day and you're feeling reciprocation from the Supreme Lord. When you hear Krishna say, Mom, you feel he's speaking directly to me. I have a relationship with Krishna. He lives in this book. That's why one would feel inspired to distribute Bhagavad Gita and to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna. If one is chanting in the muhurta in the morning and feeling ecstasy from chanting because you'd rather, you don't want to be anywhere else except there chanting. You don't want to think of anything else. You just want to chant Hare Krishna and you feel happy for no reason. Then you'll want to go out and see other people take the holy name yourself. So sadhana means strict, serious, and sincere. Please say.
Strict, serious, and sincere.
Yes, yeah, so Prabhupada mentions these three qualities of strong sadhana in various places in his book, but I've put them together in a little bracelet that you can wear wherever you go. And strict, serious, and sincere have specific meanings that you can look at. I defined them in the book, Our Family Business, in some detail. So there's ways in which to have strict, serious, and sincere sadhana. So first of all, it's important to get a taste. Because if you get one molecule, how much?
One molecule.
What is your name? You. Yeah. Lakshman, give him the mic. How big is a molecule? Yeah, we got some brainy kids in here. Go ahead, tell us again. How big's a molecule?
As small as a microorganism.
How small is that?
Really small.
Yeah, I can't even see it with your eyes, right? So if you get one molecule of taste for chanting the holy name, it's enough to flood the whole city of Alachua. No? The whole state of Florida, one molecule. No?
Yes.
All of North America. Actually, it'll continue. That one molecule of taste for chanting Hare Krishna will go across the ocean. It'll go into the European countries. It'll flood all the way up into Russia. Then where? Down to the African continent, into India, all the way over to Australia. It'll hit the Philippines, Japan. One molecule. So the genesis of all expansion of the Krishna consciousness movement comes from getting this taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, just once, try to get this one molecule of taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Lean into it. You have to lean into the japa and try to hear it and try to get the taste. When you have taste, you have overflow to distribute. And that's what we're distributing. Actually, when people see devotees, what they see in their eyes is the overflow of their sadhana, of that devotee's dedication to chanting Hare Krishna. I notice all the time that people, when they see, like recently we had the girls, what was the name of that bus tour? Kishore Yatra? Yeah, Kishore Yatra. They came to ISV and they were all out chanting for the Harinam party. And people were coming down the street in Palo Alto, and they could not believe what they saw. They saw the bright-faced youth, those who were chanting Hare Krishna. They couldn't take their eyes off him. It's so beautiful. And devotees who are following four regular principles, chanting Hare Krishna, and reading Prabhupada's books become beautiful. And people don't even notice the book so much. It's not the book they're buying. It's the devotee's effulgence. And they think, where did you get that? They would like to know where you got that. And here's where you get it, from your strong sadhana. So Prabhupada recommends in many places, chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. So he said, please encourage the others to read this Bhagavad Gita at least one chapter every day. Bhagavad Gita as it is should be read by all of my students at least one chapter a day. These are separate quotes, by the way. So one recommendation I have is to join Chad. How many Chad members in here? Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Thank you very much for the Chad members. This is an underground organization. And we claim members, thousands of them all over the world. And those who join Chad agree to chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. That means you have to do at least the Sanskrit or at least the English in one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day without fail. And for those of you tonight who would like to join Chad, I brought you a Chad card. So, dear, can you look in here and see if there's any these credit cards? Free credit card. And if it's in the black bag, it's on the other side. It's usable in fine institutions anywhere in Alachua. Just go in and show them your card and tell them you'd like to charge things and see what they say. And let me know. Here it is. He can hold it up. Here's Sudhir Madhava will hold up. Stand up. Here's your credit card, your Chad card. You just have to put your name on it and the date you're starting and chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. How long will that take to do one chapter in a day? Chad members? How long? Okay, so some chapters take you about 5 minutes. Other chapters may take you about 14 minutes. How many hours do you get here in Alachua? In California, we get 24. I just want to check. How many do you get? How many? Omkar's saying 24. You all agree? Okay. So out of your 24, if you take 5 minutes, 14 minutes to chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, then you will get a taste for Krishna consciousness, because there's so much potency in Bhagavad Gita. Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita recommends everyone should read Bhagavad Gita, he said, because it's spoken directly by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lots of people have Bhagavad Gita. Lots of people keep it on the shelf. Lots of people talk about Bhagavad Gita. But those who read at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day will feel supreme empowerment from Krishna himself in the book. Now, there's also a system I mentioned in class this morning, and we call this Be a Sage, Page by Page. Everyone say.
Be a Sage, Page by Page.
And this is a simple system by which you can know when you're going to finish each one of Prabhupada's books. For instance, if I asked Omkar when you're going to finish the Bhagavatam, and I came and I woke you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, I snuck into your room and I shook you and I said, Omkar, what's the date you're going to finish the Bhagavatam? If he was following this system of Be a Sage page by page, he would sit up on his elbow and he would say, January 1st, 2020, I'll be done. And how would he know that? Because this is a system, Be a Sage page by page, tells you exactly how many pages you have to read every day to finish each one of Prabhupada's books within a given amount of time. And for those of you who would like to investigate this, let me see, does anybody here have a smartphone? How many, raise your hand if you don't have a smartphone and we'll all chip in and get you one. Okay. Okay, there's a few people here that would like a free smartphone. If you go to your app store and you check in, just put in the search, put Be a Sage. Yeah, really. For either iOS or for what's that other one called? Android. Oh yeah, Android. Android or the iOS system we have for either of them. And there's really beautiful developments coming up, you'll notice. It's really easy to use. There's a little picker wheel you can turn for all the Prabhupada's books, and you can figure out how many pages to read. It'll also remind you to finish your pages. And there are many exciting features coming up. For instance, there's a little devotee that's going to be you going around Govardhan Hill, and every time you finish your pages and you put them in, you'll advance in going around the hill. And many other features to come, but check it out. Be a Sage page by page. That's what it looks like right now. And you can just scan it right there and go right to it. So the first law of book distribution is?
Be strong.
Your sadhana must be?
Strong.
Can we say it one more time together, please? Number two, you must get books. Correct. Now, in the military, when you join and you go into boot camp, you'll meet a sergeant, a drill sergeant, and they'll teach you how to talk. So, Sergeant asks you a question and you answer, how do you answer?
Yes, sir.
You say, sir, yes, sir, everyone say.
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay, you'd all be kicked out of the military. Try it again. One, two, three.
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay, like that. Now, just for this number two, not for all of them, but for this one, forget books. Number two is?
Get books, get books.
Okay, let's try it again. It's just this. What's here?
Get books.
Okay, you'll be kicked out of the military. Let's try it one more time. One, two, three.
Get books.
Come on, you got to scare the devotees across the street. One, two, three.
Get books.
Okay, and I'll tell you why this works. We've done extensive, more study on this particular law than any of the other ones. We've gone to major universities on both the East and West Coast, even some in Europe, and we've done double-blind studies, and we found that you can't distribute books that you don't have. We tried. It's impossible. So there's a miracle that's upon us right now, and that is that we have books. This is a miracle. Factually, during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, books were very rare. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the Brahma Samhita at the Adi Kesava temple, he had to have it copied by hand. Did you know that scribes at that time were illiterate? All they did was copy all day, and they used a stylus on a leaf, and they had to impress upon it and make all the writing. Where's Gopal? Gopal, how long would it take you by hand to copy the whole Bhagavad Gita? Okay, so if we were getting ready for the marathon, you'd have to get some friends together and really start printing out some books for us in case we wanted to distribute more for the marathon than just one book, right? But by some miracle, we have high-speed printing and we can put these books out. We can't take that for granted. The fact that we have a window of opportunity right now by some miracle of technology that we have the original scriptures, which are sound vibrations from the spiritual world, written down. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadyavatyapi namanyanantastya shon kitaniyat shinvandi gayanti krinanti sadhava. This is Narada Muni saying that these books, they're otherworldly. They come from the spiritual world. They're not a creation of this material world. And they're meant to create a revolution in the hearts of people all over the world to bring them to Krishna. So this is an opportunity. Get these books. You can worship them. You can offer your bhoga to these books. They're deities. And if you keep them in your homes and you keep them in your car, you'll find that Lord Chaitanya will make arrangements for you to distribute them. In Chicago, I gave this seminar several years ago, and there were two devotees there that were running a business. They used to pick me up at the airport, drop me off the temple, and after I came back 3 months after the seminar, and I saw in their car they had a big box of books in the back seat, and I said, oh, you're following the number two law. And they said, yes, and let me tell you why. After the seminar in Chicago, they had put a box of books in their car. And then all the devotees got invited. They lived off campus. They didn't live at the temple. All the devotees got invited to go to a big home program. So they got to the home program. The host was a wealthy man. He was very generous, and he was feeding all the devotees. And then he declared that, I want to distribute Bhagavad Gita to all my friends. Can somebody bring me some right now? And all the devotees had come to the temple, and they hadn't brought books. Devotees, the brahmacharis, didn't have books. But these two devotees, they said, we have some books in our car. They went out and they found that they had 9 Bhagavad Gitas and a handful of other small books. And they brought them in and said, this is what we have. And the man said, here's $1,000. They said, now we always carry books in our car. Lord Chaitanya knows where the books are. There's a little transponder on every book. And when you carry them around, he lines you up with the souls who are meant to have these books. You just have to be an agent. You have to be a distributor, and you carry them around. And just for carrying them around, in fact, Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, it's a known fact, that those who respect Vaishnava literatures in their home, their homes become worshipable by the demigods. What to speak of those who stock them up? That's a bigger intent, because that's called intent to sell. When people carry a few drugs around with them, they can get a light sentence. But if they carry huge stacks in their cars, and the highway patrol opens it up and they find 3 tons of marijuana in the back, that you got to go to jail for that, because there's intent to sell. So, in a similar but positive way, when you stock up books in your home and keep them in your car, and everyone, people look at you, go, "Those, you can't read all that." It's like, it's intent to sell. You get spiritual benefit for just keeping these books. So everybody knows this now. You can't distribute books you don't have. You find ways to get them. And there are books now we have in many different languages. And they're beautiful books. You know, I mentioned already a miracle that we have books at all in English. The great miracle that Prabhupada enacted by coming to America and bringing his books and translating them, even as he managed a huge movement. But even beyond that, they've been translated in other languages. If you talk to the devotees, and I have, when I was writing my book, I was interviewing many devotees around the world who have translated these books into foreign languages. It's painstaking. There are many words that don't even translate into other languages, and you have to invent new words just to do it. But now we have dozens of books that translated into other languages. And it's such a privilege to keep these books on hand and make them available to the proper people. And also, just as an aside, we now have a language project so that you can download from our website little cards that you can carry with you for any language book that you're going to distribute. You can have a card so you don't have to speak the language. All you have to do is identify where the person's from, hand them the book, hand them the card, and they will give you a donation. I guarantee you, or I'll pay for the book myself. Just keep track. Vietnamese, Japanese, Farsi, Arabic, Korean. Prabhupada gave special benedictions to those who distributed books in the Muslim countries. And one of the best ways to get books into some of these countries is to meet the people here. Because what happens is they take the books, they throw it in their luggage, and they go into the country. And if one stray book happens to wander into a country, it can bring down the whole empire. It's happened before. It happened in Russia. This is full-on revolution in the world. And the way to foment revolution is through literature distribution. It's subversive. It's the way in which the governments of the world are most afraid. They're afraid of literature because they know that people read literature, they gather together, they make their own organizations based on the literature. That's what holds them together. And if you distribute those literatures, you can create a whole new world system. And I'll talk more about that later. Chung toi dang tao toi nong cha no cho. There are ways in which on our language cards, you can also, just like a shloka, you can learn how to say the mantra if you wish to memorize these. It's just as easy as memorizing Sarvadharman Parityaja. And if you develop a repertoire, you'll be like Arjuna. He got weapons wherever he went. Lord Shiva, he fought him. He got the Pashupata weapon. He got all these weapons. And when you go out, you're armed and you're ready. You got books in every language. You got the language cards ready to go. And when you meet people, you become like an empowered kung fu fighter. Now, if you learn a few words in each language, too, that's also beneficial. Oftentimes, I'll meet people from various countries, and just because I know a word or two in their language... Like I meet somebody from Hong Kong, Le Ho Ma, and I'll say, Shim Sat Sui, Sam Sui Po, Mong Kok, Ho Man Tin, New Territory, or way up on the peak. Those are neighborhoods in Hong Kong. They're, wah! Oh, here's a man from Afghanistan, a Muslim mullah. I met him at a little one of those weekend markets. Distributing books. He had just happened to be visiting relatives from Afghanistan. So I said, Salaam Alaikum, Alaikum Salaam, Marhaba, Kifalak, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And he said, you believe in Allah? I said, of course I believe in Allah. He said, you pray every day? I said, 16 times. And he came over, he gave me a big hug, and he bought this book in Farsi. And that book is sitting somewhere in Afghanistan waiting to create a huge revolution. We can't win a war in Afghanistan with bullets. It's impossible. The Russians couldn't do it. The Americans won't do it either. But this can do it. This is revolution. This is how to bring peace to the world and bring people happiness. A great revolution we have at hand. So right now, we have extra points on the newsletter for various books. Did you know, if you sell a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas between now and the end of December, you get double points on the newsletter? Similarly, for the POYs, all these books in Arabic or Farsi, you also get huge points on the newsletter. There's a special category on there now. I just thought I'd mention that in case anybody's keeping score. So number two is?
Get books.
Okay, one, two, three.
Get books!
Is everybody okay? Okay. Here's number three. Now this one we don't say in a military way, but we always say twice because it's so important. Are you ready? Yeah, and how does this work? Well, it works because little Jiva is wandering around the universe. In fact, there's other words like loitering. Prabhupada uses this. If you go to 7-Eleven, you'll see a big sign that says, no loitering. And similarly, there should be a big sign on the material world. In fact, there is. It says, no loitering. But people come and hang out here. And what are they doing? Not much. They're wandering around, but they're looking for something nice. But everywhere they go, they see things that look nice, but actually they're not nice. For instance, people see signs that say Coca-Cola. And on the Coca-Cola sign, it says, pour out the happiness. Gopal? What's in a bottle of Coca-Cola? Don't tell us. Be more specific. Give them the mic. What's in a bottle of Coke?
I have no idea. I've never drank.
Nobody knows. So be careful. It's a proprietary formula. Basically, there's water. Let's ask our scientists over here. What's in a bottle of Coke? Hey, give him. Yeah, he's a biologist. Or physicist.
Sugar and some chemicals.
Yes. Water.
Obviously water.
Okay, sugar, chemicals, and what else? Water, color, part of the chemicals. Now, Gopal, tell us, is that a bottle of happiness?
And maybe some corn syrup.
And corn syrup? Is that a bottle of happiness?
No.
Okay, it says so on the sign. You know how many people in the world drink Coca-Cola? Millions, if not billions. It's in every country around the world. It's all over Africa. I was in Africa. Everywhere I went, it said, drink Coca-Cola, pour out the happiness. Little Jiva wanders around the world, and he sees stuff. And he sees a bottle of Coca-Cola, says, pour out happiness. He goes, okay, I'll try it. And he drinks the Coca-Cola, and every cell in his body is saying, don't put that in here. And he goes, no, I saw it on the sign. I'm going to try it. And in this way, he's trying all kinds of things all over the universe. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev. And he becomes fortunate when he actually finds the real formula for happiness. So when we show these books, we give them the formula for happiness. And all you have to do is show little Jiva. He'll take it. Little Jiva's smart. He's actually part of the Supreme Personality of God. And when he sees the real, real thing, then he actually gets attracted. And so if you don't say anything and you just go out and hold up books anywhere, and I've seen this in Vrindavan, I've seen Russian devotees, they're so sincere, they don't speak Hindi or anything like that. They'll just stand there in front of the Krishna Balaram all day long and just hold books like that, and people come over and buy them. Why do they buy them? Because, the Lord, number three,
the more you show, the more you sell.
You always say it twice. Even if I went out with a devotee in England. It was his first time on book distribution. He wanted to go out. He's deaf and dumb. And he said, I want to go on Sankirtan. What's his name? Devotee in England? So anyway, he said, I want to go on Sankirtan. He brought his interpreter with him. He sold more books than anybody. He's just showing everybody and explaining a little bit what's in the book, and everyone takes. Anyone can go, and if they just have a little idea about how to create visibility, and there are many different ways that one can do this. There are devotees around the world just set up tables. They make the books visible. This devotee sells thousands of books from a table just by showing. There are events that you can go to. All over the world there are events. People are always holding events. And if you go to the event and you show the books, then people tell, this is one of our big events in Silicon Valley. It's called the Pumpkin Festival. And I finally figured out why it's so popular. The books are so popular there. Can you see in the picture? Diwali events. And here's the smart box. So the smart box is for those of you who like to distribute books while you're asleep. And so this box, you just go around and you put it in shops and you can fill it up with books, and people come in, they take the book, they put the money in the box, and they walk away with the book. We get people all the time coming to the temple and they go, oh yeah, I got this book. And he said, where'd you get the book? They said, at the store. I said, what do you mean at the store? I said, from the box. Oh, from the box. So they take the book out, they put the money in the box, and they read it. And so the store owner becomes one of the marketing outlets for the Sankirtan movement also. Just by allowing the box in the store, everyone gets benefit. You could take Mahaprasadam around to the store owners and encourage them as part of your Sankirtan team. Say, you're doing great. You're helping to spread the Sankirtan movement. One devotee in Silicon Valley has about 125 of these boxes out. He just drives around, picks up the cash, and puts the books in the box. What do you think, Gopal? Say, it sounds good. Good.
Smart way to sell books.
Smart way to sell books. Thank you very much. That's why we call it the smart box. Okay, there's smart tables. Now we have tables. I don't have a picture here, but the devotees have a little sign that's a free meditation book, and they have a whole section of free books, and then they have other books that they can take for donation. And what ends up happening, they come over, they take whole stacks of small books, and then they take the big books, and then they give more than they normally would give, because they're very happy that the devotees are so generous to give these free books. And this has been very successful too. Do you have a point? Yeah, please.
With the smart box, wouldn't they need to understand it from a devotee?
Yeah. What happens generally is they see the title and they see the description, and then it interests them. And the books that we're presenting in there have some introductory material in there, and they read it, they get an idea. They can also come and get more information from the devotees. Gopal?
It's like the cocoa. It's like the Coke. Like
exactly.
They just see it. And
it's like the Coke sign. They see it there. Yeah. So they see it there, and there's a little instruction on the box that says, take the book, put the money in the box. And that's what they do. It's fun for the whole family. So Prabhupada said, I want that every respectable person has a full set of Bhagavatams and Chaitanya Charitamritas in their home. So one of Thomas Hopkins, he was called the greatest salesman in the world. In his book he wrote, always sell in bunches like bananas. In bunches like what?
Bananas.
Correct. So we have all these books in bunches, like Srimad Bhagavatam. That's one big bunch of books. And we also have Chaitanya Charitamrita. And when you bundle these books together and take them around and show to people, because what's the third law of book distribution that we always say twice? Correct. When you show it to people, look at this. We were going door to door with sets of Bhagavatams. They didn't want to let us in at first because they kind of felt like if they let us in, something might happen. But they finally did, and we brought the Bhagavatam set in, we took it out, we explained the whole thing to them, and they said, we don't have any space. Now, this is the number one reason why people say they can't take a Bhagavatam set. Isn't that interesting? They don't have space. So we helped them out. I found, you see that red arrow where the Bhagavatams are right now? I found a whole shelf full of junk. They're old books, and there were games, and there was a hairbrush, and all kinds of stuff that nobody really even knew was there anymore. I said, what's this? What's that? What's this? Can you get rid of it? Yeah, sure, we can get rid of it. They got rid of it, and the Bhagavatam came in. And look how happy they look now. So when you show the Bhagavatam, now here's a man. This man is from Morocco. He's a Muslim. And Shraddha Devi Dasi, who you see there on the right, she was bringing Chaitanya Charitamritas around, door to door, and she showed this young man from Morocco, nice young Muslim man, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and guess where it is right now? It's sitting in his house, on his shelf. Man from Morocco. He took the. Why did he take that set of Chaitanya Charitamritas? You got to work with me now. Now, what if she didn't take it? What if she just knocked on the door and she didn't have anything in her hand? What would have happened? Huh? Which law of book distribution was she violating? Number two. Get books. So you can't sell books you don't have. We've proved it in universities all over the world. One second. Okay. Now we have, if you put together all the books and all the recordings and everything else you can think of, and you put it in one bookshelf, and you even offer the bookshelf, and you show it to people, what do you think they'll do? What do you think they'll do?
Buy it.
Who said buy it?
Me.
Where? But why would they buy it?
Because it looks so awesome.
And so what law of book distribution is that?
The more you show, the more you sell.
Yeah, we made a deal with IKEA. We said, you give us these bookshelves for a certain price. But also, we got all the books together. We put them in a package, and we went and showed people, say, hey, look at this. And little Jeeva's floating around the universe. He's just say, this, put this in your house. It'll make you happy. And they say, okay, I'll take it. How much is it? $1,001. No problem. I need one for my office. I want one for my son. They'll take it. You just have to package it together and show it. And the more you show, the more you sell. So Motel Gita, number is already outdated, and this thing's only a couple months old. It's getting up towards 500,000 Bhagavad Gitas sitting right now in motel rooms all over North America. So when they say, I don't want to go on a traveling party, I don't want to do smart boxes, it would do something else. There are so many thousands of ways to show books to make them available to people. Mayapur Bihari Prabhu, one morning while we were chanting Jap in the temple, he came up to me and said, sorry to bother you, but I got an idea. I said, what is it? He said, I'd like to put Bhagavad Gita's in all the motels all over America. What do you think? I said, get started right now. And he called his friend Dilip Bhai, and they said, let's go. And about 6 months later, we were on television. They were saying, well, these Christians, they're putting Bhagavad Gita's in all the motel rooms that were normally used for Bible. And then it just started taking off. And now it's going, like, tens of thousands of books going out per month. Because some devotee had some inspiration. Let me make Bhagavad Gita's available. And what's wrong with that? Answer is? Not a thing. Not one thing wrong with that. Look at that. The Bhagavad Gita right next to the Holy Bible. And what was the number three again? And number four is, you must organize. Please say number four. Yeah, because if you want to do a little bit of book distribution as a hobby on the side, then you can just let it drift and just accidentally distribute a few books. But if you want to start an empire of book distribution here in Alachua, Florida, you can start in a dusty little garage, and if you come together on a regular basis and brainstorm and think how to make improvements on what we have now. Just like tomorrow, we're going out Actually, we're going out just to see if we can go out. We're not even going out to distribute books tomorrow. The reason that we're going to go out is to see if we can all get out the door at the same time. And to get into cars and move. Because the hardest part of book distribution is not selling books at all. That's the easy part. The hard part is moving from point A to point B. And just getting there in a group. So if we can do that tomorrow, and what we're going to do, when we get to our spots that are already charted out, it's very organized, because you have one of the most organized Sankirtan leaders I've ever met. All you have to do is touch the pavement with your foot all together, and you're done for the day. You don't have to do anything else. Okay? Sound good? So organization takes, and I was going to mention that tomorrow, we've already divided up into teams. We've divided up into leaders. We have devotees ready to drive everybody. We have the spots all chalked out. And we also have some that are going to be looking for room for improvement and writing it down. And then we'll make a list of all the places where we saw room for improvement. And every month we'll make at least 3 improvements. And everyone will see, just from 3 little improvements every month, the empire will start to grow. You'll see it manifest in front of your eyes. Just like a redwood tree popping out of the ground, and it starts to grow a little bit at a time until it comes a mighty redwood. So the Sankirtan program will be like that here also, through the power of organization, which is a miracle into itself. Because human beings are so smart that they can come together at any time they wish and decide to make things better. And all they have to do is look around and see which ways can we improve. And brainstorm together. And by making a list and then just following that list and making the improvements, everyone begins to see how the organization is improving. And there's an old adage in management that if the people in your organization see that things are getting better, they would like to do more than they're asked to do. If they see that things are staying the same, they do just what they have to do. And if they see that things are getting worse, they quit. So the impetus is to always make improvements. This is Prabhupada's mission for book distribution. Could somebody please read it? Go ahead, Gopal.
With a view towards achieving aforementioned purposes to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings.
So this was the 7th purpose of ISKCON. He listed other initiatives. And at the end he said, in order to achieve all these initiatives, we would distribute books, publish books, literatures, periodicals, and make them available all over the world. So this is part of his organization. And I talk extensively about this and how he organized it in my book called Our Family Business. If you do a simple thing like this and you write down in your calendar the dates, for instance, tomorrow a large group of us will go out together for what we call a monthly Sankirtan festival. A lot of devotees each working together in a very fun environment where everyone gets to be together for a few hours and go out and experience what it's like to cross the threshold of the temple, that thrill that takes place in your chest when you go, I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm going to go out anyway. I'm going to catch a Jaladuta and just see what I can do for the Krishna consciousness movement by going out into the great unknown known as the public. And if you write down these things, you mark it, and you say 3 months ahead of time, a year ahead of time, these are the dates when we're all going to do this together. You'll notice a marked increase in your production of book distribution just by a lot of devotees each doing a little bit on a consistent basis. So at that point, goals are potent. Everyone say goals are potent.
Goals are potent.
When you set a goal, then what happens is there's a magical switch that is flipped and the energy begins to flow into your life. So if you make a goal and you commit to it, then you might feel a little bit of nervousness because you think, how can I make this goal? And then what might you say? How can I do? How can I do? How can I do? And Lord Chaitanya will answer you and he'll give you the wherewithal to make your goal. So in North America, starting in 2012, the GBCs and temple presidents came together in Dallas. Tamahar Prabhu was there, and it was a glorious day. Remember Tamahar Prabhu?
Yes.
The GBC, we talked together, and then we got together with all the temple presidents. The sun was coming through the windows. We brought up this point that let's work North America as one team, and we'll all work together, and we'll share ideas, and we'll set a goal, a team goal for the whole North America. And the first year, it was 20%, and we smashed it the first year. Second year was 20%. We smashed it again. Next year was 10%. Smash. Third, next year after that, 10%. Smash. Next year after that, 10%. Smash. Did you know that we grew? We were at $700,000 to the BBT at that time. And last year, we gave over $2 million to the BBT. Say Hare Krishna. How did that happen? By organization, by sharing some information, by a little bit of teamwork. And that can happen in any community. You might think we're working to capacity, but no, there's unlimited capacity. Even in a mundane organization, they come and they milk the capacity out of the organization just by coming and brainstorming together. Humans are smart, and when you put them together and they talk and they bring all their ideas to the board, to the group, you get ways and means by which you can expand unlimitedly, just like these other companies. And this can be done here in Alachua. You'll see. This is our first book room. We started very humble beginnings in this kind of Silicon Valley. We just had about 3 devotees going on book distribution. We were living in a little house. The deities were in a tiny house. And then we moved to a storefront. And then when we had to move, we didn't have any place to put our books. So we said, let's get a locker. But one of the families there said, no, we'd like to keep it in our house, and we'll dispense them to all the devotees. So that house became Sankirtan Central. This is the great Rasika Shekhar on the left. Unfortunately, he suddenly left his body right after he got initiated a few years ago. But his whole family took up this service in their own home of taking care of all the books, ordering the books. The children would keep the scores of how many books were going out to the. And he was a PhD in biology. He lived in an upscale neighborhood. And all day long, people were driving up to his house with their trunks open. They were wondering what the good doctor was doing out of his house. Little did they know that this was a great revolution at hand. It started in a small, humble way in a tiny little dusty garage. And now, at that time, if we did a couple hundred books in a month, we celebrated. We thought it was just the most wonderful thing. And now the devotees there have such capacity through organization. Some months they're distributing 25, 30,000 books in 1 month. One little community, one tiny little community where everyone works, everyone has kids. Last year, that little community where there's only one devotee who actually lives in the temple, everyone else lives outside, they gave almost $420,000 to the BBT. I don't know how we did it, except for following these basic principles that I'm telling you about now. And here in Alachua, you have far more capacity to do such a thing. And how can it happen? We don't know, but Lord Chaitanya does. And if you simply ask, how can I do? And you apply organizing principles, which all of you know already because you organize your lives in various ways, then you can build a Sankirtan empire here. Organization means bringing in all the tools from all over. Like yesterday, we just started a WhatsApp group. Could you tell us about it? Is Vrindavan here? Oh, okay, Damodar, are you in a position where you can tell about the WhatsApp group?
Sure.
Yes.
So we have I don't know if you all have smartphones. I think we still have to get some loaners out to some people. But we have a group that's for the Team ISKCON Alachua. So if you want to get on that, I can add you on. All you need to have is a phone number. I think you all have a phone number and a smartphone. And you install the app, and you can either get with Mother Sri Vrindavan, my mother, or myself, or any of the other devotees who, like, if you're going out tomorrow on book distribution, all of your group leaders, they're all going to be on that WhatsApp group talking about what's going on. And what else? Good News Action Broadcasts. Vaisheshika Prabhu, you can tell about that, right?
This is called the GNAB, Good News Action Broadcast. Nothing inspires devotees more than hearing good news. And when you're on WhatsApp and you're out in the field, and you'll see this tomorrow, when anything good happens, like you make it to your spot, you're able to touch the pavement. You can take a picture of everybody touching the pavement at your spot and just put it on WhatsApp and send it out. So it's out to everybody on the whole team within 2 seconds. And you'll see, okay, team number one made it. They touched the pavement. Two number team. Then all day long, you'll see from the teams all over North America who have already set up the system, you'll see when they go out on Sankirtan together all day long, if you have your bell on there for to ring every time something comes, all day it'll be going bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing. And you look in there, and there's pictures of devotees. Oh, such and such, first time out, she just distributed a Bhagavad Gita. Somebody else, they sold a set of Bhagavatams. Somebody else, they're standing with somebody that just flew in from Iran, and they decided that they'd like to read the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, these things come in through the airwaves on the WhatsApp, and everybody gets to see. Plus, when you want to know where you're going that day, you can just read your WhatsApp notice, and you'll see where are the places. Where's everybody going to line up? Where are the books available? This is organization. It's very simple. And we also have to thank Dominar, too. He's our secret weapon here. There are brilliant devotees here in this community. And Dominar, I didn't know about him, but now, I mean, I did before because we went to Sam's Club. But now he's a young giant in all different ways. And he just came forward yesterday and said, yes, I'll do this, yes, I'll do that. And leaders emerge when you start building this program, this big team program that can help exponentially increase your capacity. And here's one of them. Give him a big hand. A little bigger, though. That's Dhammadhar. So, I have many more things to say, but we have a little bit more time tonight, but we have more time tomorrow when we're going to do some actual training. And tomorrow what I'm going to teach you is how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. And I guarantee this process. I guarantee it so much that I promise you tomorrow, after you learn the system of how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit, that you can sell a Bhagavad Gita anywhere, to anyone, at any time. Or your money back from tomorrow's seminar. It's a template. There are many different ways to present a Bhagavad Gita, but I'm going to give you a template tomorrow that will give you so much confidence that you'll feel like bursting out the door and showing somebody just so you can run through the particular programming I'm going to show you. Not only that, I'm going to give you a card that has, at a glance, that has everything I tell you, and it tells you in the order how to do it. And if you want a little secret, when you meet people tomorrow, tell them you're a beginner. It's your first time out. If you decide to meet anybody, it's no requirement except touching the pavement. But if tomorrow or any other day you meet somebody and you would like to show them a Bhagavad Gita, you could say, I'm a beginner. I'm just learning how to do this. Please don't mind if I read from this card. And what happens is people say, oh, okay, you go ahead and try. Yeah, yeah, I'll help you out if you slow down or anything like that. And they'll feel very happy to assist you and also to take a Bhagavad Gita with you. So feel free to use the card in any way that you like. So we talked about our legacy. We talked about the four laws of book distribution. And now I'm going to take a few reflections. But I also just want to mention briefly about the monthly Sankirtan Festival. Everyone say.
Monthly Sankirtan Festival.
This is going on all over the world right now. Devotees in Europe, devotees many places all over North America, devotees in India are enacting the monthly Sankirtan Festival. And what it is the most fun you can possibly have in a few hours in one day. I guarantee you, you can't have any more fun than going on the monthly Sankirtan Festival. Right, Omkar? Thanks, Omkar. Yeah. You go out together. It's a little exhilarating because you're going out into the great unknown, into the public. You're not sure what's going to happen, but you have all your friends around you. You also don't have any expectation to perform. You're just going out because it's the right thing to do. And because by going out, you know it's high sadhana and you're going to feel that you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. And then you just depend on the association and you depend on Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And once a month, you can organize a time when everybody in the whole community, including the dogs can go out too. Because we have one devotee who has some really nice dogs. They're very highly spiritual. One of them who's passed away into the spiritual world.